do be seated. Another high one. Well, what was the harvest you've just been singing about? Wasn't grapes, was it? Wasn't tomatoes. What was the harvest? People. Wow. It was. And it is a harvest of people. And we were reading here this morning in the chapel from Matthew chapter 13, and I'm going to look a little bit at something else that's in the same part of the Bible. It's Jesus speaking, and he told a story about wheat that was sown in a field, and somebody at night must have crept into the field and sowed something else that was rather like weeds. It was actually something like, it's called darnel, which looks like wheat until it grows up, but it doesn't have any ear on it. And Jesus' followers asked him, what did he mean? What was he talking about? And Jesus said, the one who sowed the good seed in the field is the Son of Man. That's how Jesus referred to himself. So he said, I sow good seed. What was he talking about? Well, he was saying the field is the world, which is where we live. And everyone else who's ever lived has been living in the world. We don't live on Mars, or we don't live on the moon. We don't live in outer space. We live in the world. And Jesus said he planted, sowed good seed. And then he said what the good seed is. He said the good seed stands for the sons of the kingdom. Who did he mean? Well, he meant all those who were his children, sons of the kingdom. And who are his children? Well, those who were born into his family. And Jesus said very clearly on a number of occasions, you had to be born to enter his family. You weren't naturally part of his family just because you were human. Jesus said you have to be born again to become a son of the kingdom. And then he said the weeds are the sons of the evil one. There's someone else out there looking to destroy the harvest. The enemy who sows these weeds is the devil. And then Jesus said, the harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. So Jesus made it quite clear there's going to come a time when there will be a final harvest. And we sang about that in, which verse was it? Verse 4, the final harvest, your final harvest. And if you go to another part of the Bible, in the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible, John says, I looked, and there before me was a white cloud, and seated on the cloud was one like a son of man with a crown of gold on his head and a sharp sickle in his hand. Son of man, that's Jesus, remember. And he had a crown of gold on his head, and he had a sharp sickle in his hand. What was he going to do with that? Then another angel came out of the temple and called in a loud voice to him who was sitting on the cloud. What did he say? Take your sickle and reap, because the time to reap has come, and the harvest of the earth is come. It's ripe, a harvest of people. So he who was seated on the cloud swung his sickle over the earth, and the earth was harvested. And that hasn't happened yet, but it's going to happen, and the harvest will affect you and me. And it's a question, really, are we in the kingdom? Are we a son of the kingdom? Are we trusting in Jesus Christ to be the one who will take us to be with him forever? So where will you feature in the harvest of those who are alive or who have lived on the earth? Will you be the good wheat? Well, only if the Lord Jesus has planted his life in you and you have trusted him and received him. What will everything depend on? Well, it'll depend on whether you are a Christian or not. Not everybody is a Christian, of course. Doesn't depend on whether you're good or lived a good life. It depends on whether you have trusted, what God has provided in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, which is simply the forgiveness of sin and abundant life if we will turn to him and give our lives to him. So harvest is very much about you and me, as well as about all the flowers and all the crops. So we need to remember there's a final harvest. So the hymn that was requested, number 506, fits in so well with this, because not only do we sing about how great God is, O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hand has made, but it also speaks about God not sparing his Son. And it speaks of how Jesus bled and died. That was on a cross 2,000 plus years ago, of course. Why? To take away my sin. And if our sin is not taken away, we stand in the same place as the weeds or the darnel, which when the sickle goes in, will be taken and cast into the fire and burned. And that's what Jesus taught. But this wonderful hymn reminds us that one day the Lord Jesus is going to come with a great shout of acclamation, and he may be able, if you trust him and know him, to take you home. Then what joy will fill your heart? I hope you're going to be one of those who will be able to bow in humble adoration when Jesus comes again and proclaim, "My God, how great thou art." That's what this hymn is about. And let's sing it heartily. 506.
I feel the rising fire.
Do have a seat. Now something just a little different, which I hope you will really enjoy and appreciate. Here is someone sharing something in America, which is very wonderful, about the magnificence of God's creation and how everything in creation joins in praise of Him. Just bear with me while we get it up, and you can watch.
Sun and moon, and praise Him, all you shining stars. That's not just a poetic idea. That's really happening, because stars don't just shine. Stars also sing. Let me just show you a couple more stars. This one is called the Vela Pulsar, and it's magnificent. It's 1,000 light years away. It's a highly magnetized neutron star. Right. It simply means this star exploded into a supernova, and in the case of the Vela Pulsar, it collapsed back on itself in a magnetic entity. And as the pulsar, it began oscillating on its axis. This one oscillates 11 times a second on its axis. And as it is oscillating, you can see what's happening. It's shooting a radio frequency out of itself. When they aimed the radio telescopes at the Vela Pulsar, this is what they heard. And this is what this guy does 24/7, day and night, 365 days a year. This is what, from 1,000 light years away, the Vela Pulsar sounds like right now. This is it. Listen to this. Now, I don't know about you, but that blew me away. I'm thinking, wow, this is incredible. You're like, well, what does it mean? I don't know. Is that some kind of Morse code for something? Or what does all that mean? I don't know what it means, but and I don't want to, you know, go too crazy here, but maybe the Vela Pulsar got wind somehow innately of Psalm 148, verse 3, and said, it says, praise Him, sun and moon and all you shining stars. We're a shining star. We should praise Him. Well, how are we going to praise Him? I know. Let's oscillate 11 times a second on our axis and see if we can send a radio signal into the universe that would join in the symphony of God's praise from all creation. It's singing. The stars are singing to Him. I recently stumbled on 47 Tuck. It's a beautiful cluster of stars. I'll show you the picture of it here. There are 12 of these super giant blue stars in there, but the things that are of interest to us tonight are these millisecond pulsars. And right now tonight, while we're sitting in this room, the 16 recorded millisecond pulsars in 47 Tuck are making this sound. Seeing Psalm 48 come to life, but look down at verse 7. It says, praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures in all deeps. The whale songs could sound like this right here. Take a listen. We don't know the expanse of the worship that is continually surrounding the throne of God. And our songs are great, but God isn't banking on our songs because he is surrounded by a symphony that's bigger than our wildest dreams tonight. Stars sing and whales sing and the birds fly. And I just try to imagine what would it sound like if you could just for a second be God and hear what he hears. And I can't get us there tonight, but I came close. I had a friend who helped me with this little iPad program. And I'm not a DJ, but a little thing, just quickly, and I want you to see how this works. Now, this guy, we didn't look at his picture. He's PSR-B0329-54. And he's only rotating 1.5 times per second, which is not all that much, but we need him in our little experiment we're going to do here, okay? And then we had the Bella Pulsar. You remember the Bella Pulsar, right? That's that guy. That's a little too fast for what we're trying to do, so we're going to slow that down, okay? Thank you.
Amazing, isn't it? The whole of creation sings. No wonder God is delighted with our praise. We began with that great declaration that he's King of Kings, and we sang of his majesty. But I think it's truly amazing when you actually can get behind what's happening around us. And that's how they began to think that this particular more modern song was an expression of praise to the Lord. If you want to stay seated, we'll just play it through as the folk go and put the kettles on and make the tea and the coffee. And then after this song, we can turn the chairs around so we get no more than 8 chairs around the table. Maybe 5 or 6 would be even better. But we can join in and see if we can actually join in this song.
Clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness strives to hide, and trembles at his voice, and trembles at his voice.
How great is our God? Let's give thanks to him in a little prayer as we give thanks for our tea. And all will say, how great is our God. And Lord, we know that one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And we pray that every one of us here would be able to do that now, to allow you to be Lord of our lives, so that we can proclaim how great you are. Thank you for the songs we've been able to sing and the things we've seen and heard and shared together. And thank you now that we're going to enjoy sharing tea together. Thank you for those who've provided it. Bless it to us and our sharing time in Jesus' name. Amen. It's not going to be too difficult for you just to move the chairs around a little bit. Is it best, Angela, if one table at a time comes up to get food rather than everybody all at once? I think that might be a better idea. So I'll just come to each table in turn, and if you're able to come up to the table, everything is labelled, so the different sandwiches are labelled, the scones are different. So please take what you need, and if you need to come back a second or third time, that'll be great. And then the ladies will come out and ask whether you want a tea or a coffee, and that will be served to you at the table. So hopefully you can get round the tables adequately so that you can pop your plate, which you'll pick up off the serving table, and your cup or mug, whichever it's going to be. I guess it'll be a cup and saucer will be on the table for you. So bear with us. Oh, a good idea, collecting up the hymn books. That's a very good idea. Thank you very much for that.